Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
She's not just all those great things. She's my Wednesday morning dance partner. 8:03 the time. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. And we do welcome the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed.
Are you ready to dance this morning?
Ready to go.
You know, I tell our audience throughout the week that you are among the nation's most sought after advisors, and we get you here every Wednesday. It's a really, really fortunate position to be in.
I love doing it. I really do.
Well, we thank you.
I enjoy Wednesday morning.
And we certainly
appreciate it.
And thank you so much. We certainly appreciate your time with us. And are you a good dancer?
I love to dance.
All right.
I absolutely love to dance.
I figured you would be. I figured you'd be a great dancer. So
yeah.
All right. We'll work that out sometime as well. when you and I spoke last, you were a day away from having a webinar. How did that go? What'd you talk about?
Yeah, you know what? We talked about the midterm elections and the market, and we had a great turnout. Everybody wants to know what to expect during the midterms. And we went through kind of the numbers on kind of what's out there and what typically happens during a midterm election season. And no matter who's in office, there tends to be a big shakeup during the midterms because in America, we like balance. We like to kind of get things back in balance. And so usually whoever the president's party is does suffer some major losses, and it doesn't matter which party it is. It always seems to happen. And then the markets from that tend to rally. And it just has to do with less uncertainty going forward in the next 2 years, a little bit more balance usually that takes place. And when we look at the numbers, there tends to be a year-end rally. And I've been talking about this year-end rally. After the election, on average, it tends to be an 8% year-end rally from the time of the election through the end of the year. And then looking out from the election and 1 year out, the markets on average have seen an increase of about 15%.
Wow.
So that's really good news considering we're just coming up on Halloween and things have been spooky and scary in the markets. It looks like after Halloween, maybe we're going to have, a year-end rally.
So 8% and then 15%. Pretty good numbers right there.
8% year end and from the time of the election, 15 over the next year.
Okay.
On average.
Okay. And you mentioned Halloween. I can't let you go without asking you. Do you dress Chobe up for Halloween?
I do, and she's got her little bumblebee outfit, and I'm really excited about. I'll take pictures of her and send it to you.
Do you mind if we post them on our social media account? I'd love for the audience to see that.
Please do.
All right.
Thank you. She's excited about it.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, no dog is ever excited to be dressed up. We think they are, but they're really not.
She just looks at me like, really? Really? You're going to do this? I'm like, yes, we're doing it.
Yeah, I've got some wild ones that won't even let me get close to them, let alone put a costume on them. So let's talk about Google. I'm using Google here for the rest of digital advertising, but Google seems to have stumbled. And when they stumble, it seems to be a bad omen for the rest of digital advertising. They had poor third quarter earnings. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, so it's Alphabet is the name of the company, and of course we know it as Google in the marketplace. And you know, they did stumble, and they stumbled on both top numbers and bottom line numbers. But this was not unexpected. It's all of communication services. So all the companies that would fall under communication services, and they are dependent upon ad sales. We knew that corporations had slowed down on their ad purchases. Today, we're going to hear from Facebook. We're probably going to hear a similar story because they're very dependent upon ad sales. So if you look at communication services as a sector, it's a year-over-year decline in earnings of about 18% across the whole sector. And compare that with technology. This is a big tech week as far as earnings calls this week. We've got Amazon, we've got Apple, You know, we had Microsoft, a lot of big tech names this week, which is about negative 4% year-over-year earnings growth. So certainly communication services is being hit hard. The good news out of that is I actually think that after we kind of take this hit on communication services, we see opportunities from there. So, you know, we're, you know, looking at it, certainly going into a slowdown, corporations slow down those ad sales. But, you know, after we see this, you know, we'll see where things can go from here.
Okay. Would I be wrong in suggesting that the earnings might point to the stunning dominance of TikTok, which really eats away at the profits of the big giants?
You know, I don't know about that. I think certainly TikTok is, you know, I mean, just look at what's happened with Spotify, you know, year to date. You look at some of these companies, you've got to be careful, certainly, with companies that are running up quickly. Right. You know, I'll use another example. Look at Peloton and what happened there. I mean, these are different industries, but investors just need to be cautious on some of these companies that are the trend of the moment, but may not be the trend longer term.
Excellent. Wonderfully stated. And thank you for that. I want to talk about a consumer confidence that fell in October to the lowest level since July. And we know that it's because high borrowing costs and the soaring inflation obviously have taken their toll on household budgets. But consumer spending, which drives our economy, has remained strong. Explain that for us. Dial that in for us, please.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, the consumer has started to really feel the pain of inflation on their daily expenditures, especially in the area of food, which, as we know, has soared up. And so that affects household budgets tremendously. So they're finally feeling it. And yet the spending has remained strong. But remember, if we look forward, you know, spending has in the past. Going forward, what we're seeing is that there's going to be less spending on big ticket items. Apart from cars, it looks like people are still going to be purchasing automobiles, and a lot of that has to do with finally automobile prices probably coming down. But I think when you look at travel, that's expected to go down. International travel is expected to go down over the next 6 months. And like I said, big ticket items. So while it has remained strong, and we've seen spending in the areas of services more than goods, we're actually expecting some of that to slow down as well going forward.
Okay. What's your gut feeling on holiday spending this year? Mattel just put out this a notice yesterday, I guess, that they were expecting sales to be down substantially for the holidays.
I think that consumers will spend, but they're going to be more cautious and they're going to be looking for deals. And so I think the companies that get ahead of that and try to get people in with deals, you know, and so we always gauge it by Black Friday and see what happens there. And I think we'll have a relatively strong Black Friday because there'll be lots of deals. The question is, after that, how strong is spending the rest of the holiday season? It may not match what we have on Black Friday.
Okay. All right. This may be my dumb guy question, but the gross domestic product, which is the broad measure of our economic activity, it's estimated to have grown by 2.4% between July and September. Is that a huge number considering we just had 6 months of economic contraction?
Yeah, it's a good number, meaning it's positive. At least it's positive and not negative. And of course, those are always subject to revisions after the fact. But at the end of the day, what we're expecting is to still have a positive GDP for 2022. And so what that means is if we keep this, let's say, over 2% number, and then we have on fourth quarter another positive GDP number, we'll pull in a positive number for the year, which is what we're expecting. 2023... maybe not so much. That's the year where we're expecting more of a decline and most likely or probably a recession some point at 2023. But like I've said before, we don't expect it to be deep and long. We expect it to be shorter and not as deep.
Okay. And when you say these things in my head, I'm thinking about the UK. And yeah, things may be, we may get into a smaller recession here, but wow, nothing like what's going on in the UK. Explain to our listeners what's happening there.
Yeah, we've had a lot of turmoil in the UK, and we've seen three prime ministers in less than 6 weeks, which is just incredible. Oh, yeah. That's not normal for the United Kingdom. And I think about the Queen, who, you know, did such a good job for so long, and she's, you know, has passed away now, and probably looking down and going, what's going on?
I shook Liz Truss's hand, and then 45 days later, she was gone.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but now the market actually has confidence now with this new appointed prime minister and a lot of hope there. And as a result of that, the bond market has turned around. And so we're looking now at having more stability in the UK. And in fact, it's come off its lows against the dollar. So that is encouraging. So hopefully for the United Kingdom, they will start seeing more stability. And along those lines, Ed, tomorrow the ECB is expected to raise rates by 75 basis points. And of course, that's the European Central Bank, which would govern all of the Eurozone. So they're looking to increase rates there.
Okay, thank you. Beautifully explained. My question is this my last week that I'm able to buy I-bonds at these levels?
It is. And so, you know, as a takeaway for the public, this is the last week to buy I-bonds at a historic 9.6% annualized rate. Now, that rate is paid for 6 months, but you have to purchase it in October, because as soon as November hits, that number is going to drop. We think it will drop pretty substantially. And so those, you know, after the 6 months of that, then it will go to whatever that November rate is. But we're expecting that even that blended rate between what it is now at 9.6 and whatever it is in November for the next 6 months will still produce most likely over 8% over 1 year. And so, you know, that's something you can, you know, we've talked about it before. You can only put in $10,000, but go online. You have to do it directly with the Treasury to purchase that. And Ed, I have to do it myself. I've procrastinated myself. You know, I got to take care of our clients first. I'm always the last one, but I've got to open my own account there too.
So Monday is the 31st. I'm thinking you say get in before the 31st, or right before we
really
roll over.
Do it this week. I wouldn't even wait until the weekend to make sure you get your account funded and locked in.
All right. Well, I'm going to send you a text on the weekend to make sure you've done it. Certainly, my friend. Have you taken
that's
care of
funny.
Yourself yet, really?
Right.
So if anyone missed that, the amazing webinar that you had last week, how would they find it and how would they find you?
Thank you. So we have to get it through compliance. And then as soon as we get it through our compliance department, we'll be posting on our website. Mm-hmm. And people can go to wealthwisefinancial.com and they can take a look at that. And they can reach us either through our website or 949-748-1177.
One of the best dance partners I've ever had. And I can't thank you enough for it, Laureen.
Thank you, Ed. You have a great rest of your week.
You do as well. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you. 8:16 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show.